16-9 Kansas City. First down and goal to go at the Giant 1 yard line. Handoff. Kareem Hunt slams into the defender but keeps his three. Legs driving. Touchdown. Kansas City.
That is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holthus joins us every Friday. Also, you can hear his call every single Chiefs game here on 96.5 The Fan, plus Josh Briscoe pre and post. Chiefs win 22-9. At least you weren't Green Bay yesterday. I mean, that was wild.
Yeah, whoa. Classic look ahead, man. Happens in this league all the time. You're looking forward to that Dallas game coming up, and you go out there and you lay an egg to the to the Cleveland Browns.
Browns have a good defense, though.
They do the best in the NFL. It is. No, it is the best in the NFL, statistically speaking.
Statistically speaking, sure. Yeah, that's fine.
They have the best in the NFL. They have no quarterback of which to speak, but that defense, man, I'll tell you, that defense can flat out get it done. They're creating turnovers. They're making plays. They're making big plays when it matters most. They've been pretty good all season long from a defensive side of the ball. They're not a gimme win, if you will, right now, but their offense is really, really anemic. But yesterday, Green Bay. I mean, you want to talk about a team that paid no attention to the Cleveland Browns on their schedule and had that Dallas game circled next Sunday night, right? Everybody's ready for that game up in Green Bay. Oh, we got Cleveland coming in. Classic trap game for the Green Bay Packers yesterday. You know, we talked about the Chiefs being in a trap game if they were 2-0. That was as classic a trap game as you can get, man. And it really kind of hurt me a little bit because I was ready to say, all right, Green Bay, I think you're the best team right now in the NFL. Can't be the best team in the NFL, lose to the Browns.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah, right now they're not the best team, but they're still fine.
To be fair, it was a road game if you want to give them any sort of excuse.
True.
No.
Yeah.
But I will say, maybe I'm prisoner of the moment. Maybe this is just every week and I don't realize it because I get so lost in the afternoon. But, I mean, there's a reason why it's called the Witching Hour on Red Zone. There's a reason why I pay $15 a month for this program, because yesterday about 2:30 was bananas. Fireworks left and right. I don't know where you would start your show if you did NFL Network. Good Morning Football. I don't know where you start. Do you start with, I mean Tampa Bay and the Jets, block. Green Bay going to win the game, block. Then Cleveland gets it, field goal winner. Philadelphia and the Rams. The Rams had them bodied.
That's where you start the day if you're the NFL. Because what was it, 26-9 late in the third quarter yesterday or something like that? The Rams had that lead over Philadelphia.
I mean.
And then the Eagles got back into it and won the game on a blocked, walk-off kick. I mean, it was unbelievable.
And not only that,
man running down the field with the football,
Jordan
scoring
Davis.
A walk-off. I mean, it was fun. Like, if you're an Eagles fan, fantastic.
They already had the game won. They were already up by a point.
Yeah.
They're last year's Chiefs right now.
And I was just going to say the same thing. They're the Chiefs, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they backdoor covered with a scoop and score for all those people that had Philadelphia plus 3.5.
You're like, yeah.
Or minus 3.5 Philadelphia. Yeah. I mean, bad beat for anybody that had the Rams at plus 3.5 because that game was over, blocked. And then Tampa Bay, they have that game in control. They had the sexiest uniforms in field yesterday.
I thought it was 1985 watching that game yesterday because the Jets are wearing their throwbacks. Tampa's got their throwbacks. They got the throwback logo on the field. Mm-hmm. CBS is doing their, throwback stuff. I'm like, damn, did I just wake up in my childhood again? Because that Jets-Tampa game yesterday, it looked like a game from the 80s, man. It looked awesome yesterday.
And I mean, all that happened and it's 2:45 and you're like, okay, hold on. Chiefs are still going to play at 7:15 and we still have a 3 o'clock slate. Denver, Los Angeles was a great game. Arizona, whatever. But I mean, there was just, maybe it was just yesterday and I'm sure that we'll do it again next weekend because next weekend the Chiefs play at 3:25 at home against the Ravens and everything builds up before that game. And then that game starts at 3:00. And then by the way, tonight we have a banger. Tonight in Detroit and Baltimore.
Could be a great game.
Yeah, next two opponents for the Chiefs, man. A lot of self-scouting going on this one, I'm sure. A lot of self-scouting going on, on this one. But ultimately, all of that was fun. But we got to where we needed to go last night, and that was to get that win over the Giants yesterday.
Sure.
And that was the must-win game of the season so far, probably for anybody right now, right? I don't know that anybody with the expectations that the Chiefs had needed to get a win yesterday as much as Kansas City did, right? Like, Cleveland, not going to be a very good team. They got got their first win yesterday. The Giants aren't going to be a very good team. The Jets aren't going to be a very good team.
Houston.
Like Houston was probably the other game.
Yeah.
And they did. And they look really bad from an offensive standpoint. I'd like to pull those guys aside sometime and go, what were you thinking here when you decided to get rid of your offensive line? Like a really good Barbara Walters type of interview where you really sit down with these people and say, what the hell were you thinking by trading your best offensive lineman and not having somebody ready to go? It's one thing if you're ready to go and you got a young guy that's ready to take that spot in your lineup, but to trade a guy and really have nobody there to give your youngish quarterback who's going into his third year the opportunity to go out there and have success. I mean, I don't know what that was in Houston, but we're seeing the results of it. When you don't have a proper plan in place to backfill a guy that or a position that you've traded a star for, you're seeing it right before their eyes. I mean, it's really a bad situation for Houston right now. And so they've got to get that thing figured out. But yeah, but yesterday, like of all the 0-2 teams, the Chiefs had the biggest must win yesterday, and they went out there and they took care of business yesterday.
No
and
doubt.
I know we're not excited about that win and didn't look, you know, aesthetically pleasing and all that kind of stuff, but it's a damn win in the NFL, man. And it's very hard, as we've seen, to win in this league. As we just mentioned, Green Bay went to Cleveland and lost a football game, right? I mean, we see teams all the time lose games that they should not lose. We haven't been really used to that for the last 7 years or so here in Kansas City. We always find ways to win games. And that's what they did yesterday. Again, it wasn't anything, you know, beautiful from an offensive standpoint, but they found ways to win games. And I think it's time to credit the defense, too, for playing as well as they did yesterday. And really, it's for playing as well as they have all season long. It didn't look great maybe in that opener because Chris Jones was out of position. But save that play, this defense is really doing their part to keep this team afloat and to give this team the best opportunity to win games right now.
Two weeks in a row, they shut down two top 10 wide receivers.
Yeah, Malik Nabers, where were you yesterday?
Yeah, dude, right? Seriously.
Cheese blanket.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, like that. That's and a lot of people will have the conversation because this is what we do, right, from an offensive standpoint. Mm-hmm. Where was Malik Nabers? Why couldn't they get him the ball? Well, I thought NBC did a really good job last night of showing why they couldn't get Malik Nabers the ball. I hope that becomes the narrative of the day around the NFL. It wasn't Malik Nabers not being able to get open. It was the Chiefs' suffocating defense on Malik Nabers. And
they bracketed him pretty much.
They did. Yeah. I mean, they shut that. He didn't have his first catch until 14:45 to go in the game. That's how, and he only had one other catch after that yesterday.
Crazy.
I mean, the Giants could not get their number one weapon, the football. And, you know, Russell Wilson had some time. I mean, they got to him eventually, but he had enough time to find his guys open. Our defensive backs played really, really good yesterday. They played really good the last couple of games, too. I mean, save the one, you know, outreach with Trent McDuffie in the end zone against the Eagles. Other than that, our defensive backs have been good. They've blitzed well. They've come up to the line of scrimmage with the run. They're making plays. They had a couple of interceptions yesterday. Couldn't ask for anything more out of the defense yesterday. I thought they did exactly what we needed them to do yesterday. The problem is we're asking this defense to go out and play a perfect game right now because there really isn't a margin for error on this team.
I think the defense has been great. Now, obviously, this week was Russell Wilson, and we kind of knew this was going to happen. They were going to send, you know, the dogs on him and make him throw the ball up in the air. He did that. You got turnovers. Your defense developed turnovers. That's what you want to do. Keep those bad quarterbacks bad. Like you say, keep bad teams losing.
Right.
Don't let Russell Wilson get sneaky on you. Don't let what happened to Green Bay in Cleveland, because, you know, you'll get a lot of that today. Well, the Giants are a bad team. Of course they are. They lost 22-9.
Yeah.
They lost by double digits. Damn near, that's a blowout in the NFL.
It is. It's a two-touchdown loss.
And, yeah, that's – but, you know, as, you know, somebody who is, you know, kind of been humbled by how this team has looked in the last, you know, five games they played, I'm going to say that, yeah, the score does not indicate how that game was played yesterday, but the 9 that's up there on the board – definitely does because of what Spagnuolo's done.
Mm-hmm.
And what he has done as gone after two, what I would consider, I don't know how mobile Russell Wilson is, but we still believe that he can move and that he can get around. And then the week before when they played Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts didn't do anything against you. And now you have a quarterback coming in town tomorrow next week, which is Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
And we'll see what he does tonight against Detroit, who, again, that game could be 17-7 or that game could be 49-51 tonight. I don't know where it's going to go. I got enough time in the day to figure that out. I'll get into that more importantly. But right now, the important part of this team right now is I don't know who has more weight on their shoulders right now, Patrick Mahomes or Steve Spagnuolo, because Patrick Mahomes is number one target, and his best friend continues to bitch and moan and be a concern on the sideline. It's 3 weeks in a row, and you can say that it's not a problem, that there's bigger things to worry about, for sure, but that is where one of your top three leaders who wears a C on his chest, and it does not look like it. He's looking like he's just a drama king on the sideline every single time. He's bumping into Andy Reid on the sideline. Chase Daniel says, oh, I like to see that. That's going to be the turning point of this team. Their characteristics are going to get better. I still don't like that. That is a leader on your team that's acting like that. And then you have Spagnuolo, who's completely revamped after that first week loss to the Chargers. Again, I know 21-20, but 9. You kept Russell Wilson being bad. And everybody said, well, he threw 450 against Dallas. Maybe Russell Wilson's got the deep ball back. Not with this Spags defense. And now you're going to need that defense to do it again against the Baltimore Ravens. And then you've got that high-powered Detroit offense coming to town. So, yeah, I'm saying right now, your MVP of this game last night, you could say it's Thornton. I wouldn't be mad about that. But right now, in my mind, Steve Spagnuolo, whatever he's doing right now, is keep doing it, because you could have won that game in week two. Your star tight end dropped a pass in the end zone, right, that led to an interception. Otherwise, you're probably 2-1, and you're 2-1 because you're banking on the arms of this defense. And right now, Spagnuolo needs all the credit in the world.
Well, he does, and he should get all the credit in the world because he's been masterful. And I know there's, you know, a lot of slander going on around the defensive line, and we want more out of them and whatnot. But to hold teams in the NFL to 27-20-9 over the last 3 weeks is pretty remarkable. And they're doing a really good job of it. I mean, I think obviously holding the Giants to 9 is impressive, but holding Philadelphia to 20 is really impressive as well. I mean, that's a really good number. And then I think looking back at that, you know, that Charger game, 27 is going to look pretty good as well, you know, on the scoreboard for what the Chargers are capable of doing from an offensive standpoint, because they look pretty good, you know. So I think right now this defense is playing just fine. I have no concerns right now really about if this defense is going to show up and give me what I need every Sunday. And I know
You guys are more confident than me in that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
glad though.
I like what I'm seeing out of this defense right now. George Karloftis, I know, is probably doesn't pop off the screen. That guy had double digit tackles yesterday, 8 solo. He got a sack yesterday. Like, he really had himself a game, knocked a pass up in the air and defended that as well. And sometimes he takes the scenic route to the quarterback, and I'd like him to take the direct route to the cornerback or to the quarterback. But I thought he played a fairly good game yesterday. I thought Chris Jones was all over the place for a you know, mindset yesterday. Nick Bolton making big plays when you needed him to make big plays on fourth down, even though he got trucked one time. It happens. But like, I think our standards for sometimes judging this football team have been set way too high and maybe unrealistic. They've given us the opportunity to have unrealistic and high expectations. But now this team has kind of come back to the pack. We're starting to see the age thing. I think we're definitely seeing the age thing with Travis Kelce. We're definitely seeing the age thing with Harrison Butker at this point in time right now, right? And so all of this is coming to a head, but they still found a way to win that game. And they still have, I think, that ability to go into that next gear. As far as Travis yelling at Andy Reid on the sidelines, I'm really excited to talk to Josh in 2 hours to find out what exactly went on down there and what's been going on down there, because nobody else in this city has a better spot to pay attention to what's going on down there than Josh does. And so to get his take on it, which is one of the things that he does want to talk about in 2 hours, what's going on with Travis Kelce, I'd like to see why he's reacting like that on the sidelines. Because I was joking in my own head last night. I'm like, oh, he's just yelling about Juwan Taylor. Because that was after Juwan had those 2 penalties. Then we saw Travis freaking out on the sidelines. So I just said, he's going to Andy Reid and saying, get his ass out of there. He's killing what we're trying to do. Because Juwan Taylor did kill, guys, 2 drives yesterday that could have resulted in points with a lining up offsides like Kadropius Tony. Like, come on, line up on the line of scrimmage.
Kelce has not lost this team points this season. Oh, wait.
No, he has. Yeah, he has. No question about it.
And a wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you don't look, and I understand if you're a diehard and you bleed red and gold in the Chiefs and Kelce can do no wrong, then you're not going to be part of this conversation because you're already checked out. But again, lit up your wide receiver that got him injured because he ran a wrong route. Okay. Dropped a pass in the end zone that led to an interception that led to a loss in a football
game.
Not
just dropped the pass, tipped it up in the air. Like, yeah. I mean,
that's his hands.
Yeah. I mean, it was right there. It was a good ball by Mahomes, man. He still got to catch that pass.
And then last night, he got into an altercation with his head coach. So, yeah, whatever you want to believe or however you want to look at it, that's fine. But I'm just saying, it's not a good look. It's not what you want to see. 74, we'll see if Matt Nagy's cap or no cap. because he said that can't keep happening. He called him out in a press conference. The guy did well for one game and then completely went back and touched the stove when it was hot.
Mm-hmm.
He can't be on the field.
No, he can't.
74 cannot be on the football field ever again this season unless it's like you don't have anybody else. You cannot have, like you mentioned earlier, he's a closer. He's Stratton? That guy for the Royals? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
He had a good outing, but he gave up a home run the one before that. If he gives up a home run, we're not putting him on this mound ever again. Goes back out there, gives up a home run, blows the lead. Okay, see you later, Stratton. Thank you.
Yeah, but
you can't have 74. You cannot have 74 on the field. It is over.
It's not because of options, too. It's one thing to put a guy out there because you don't have the options. You paid Jalen Moore the money. And if Jalen Moore can't get on the field, then what? Maybe you're saying you misplayed that hand with Jalen Moore, or maybe you're saving him for guard. I don't know exactly what's going on. But my initial reaction with Travis Kelce was he's pissed again at Juwan Taylor. He's telling Andy Reid to get him off the field. That's where my mind went immediately after that, because I was reacting the same way. I think everybody was reacting the same way. You know Juwan Taylor's bad when you get texts from friends who really don't follow football all that much, but they know number 74. Everybody knows number 74. My mom, my wife, I'm getting texts from friends all over the country yesterday about 74 and this guy. Like, people know him. And so if he's breaking all of us as Chiefs fans, he's got to be breaking his teammates as well. So that was my initial reaction yesterday, was that Travis Kelce was yelling about Juwan Taylor, because it was after the second penalty on three plays or whatever it was, where Juwan Taylor cost us the opportunity to put points on the board. So I looked at Travis Kelce, I'm like, he's doing all of our work down here going, get this man off the field! Put somebody else in here! We're bad! We can't help ourselves right now! And this guy isn't helping us!
He's a buzzkill.
Like Juwan Taylor and Harrison Butker together are both just crushing this team right now.
It is Monday around 6:30. We do this every Monday. We get into our overreactions. Mac, your name is top of the list. What's your overreaction?
I was thinking it through, and maybe it's not. Maybe I need to be more outlandish with these overreactions, but Kevin O'Connell, top three coach?
Yeah, Sirianni.
Yeah, see, I think...
Andy Reid and Sean McVay. Because Sirianni and Jalen Hurts are Belichick and Brady. Dan Orlovsky said. Yeah, Come on, man.
Oh, yeah, Ashton Jeanty sucks, too. Dan Orlovsky told me that. Or Ryan Clark told me that.
Ryan Clark told me that. Look, Ashton Jeanty hasn't been off to a great start. He's a rookie, dude. Like, seriously, do we not let guys?
He's got negative 2 yards before contact. The offensive line does not let him even get past the line of scrimmage. But, yeah, Kevin O'Connell, I mean, you mentioned Sean McVay. He'd be my number two. Mm. Obviously, Andy Reid's one, and it's a runaway. There's no one even on his tier right now. Obviously, that could change if this season continues the way it's looked so far, in my opinion. But Kevin O'Connell, man, he has lifted himself up. And I know it wasn't the offense that did everything yesterday. It wasn't Carson Wentz throwing around the yard. It was Brian Flores and the Bengals. But still, like, that team rallies around Kevin O'Connell. When they were in that locker room, like, he's screaming at those guys. You can tell they love him. And plus, like, who else is elite right now in the NFL at head coaching? Like, Jim Harbaugh, he's getting there. He hasn't done enough. Sean Payton hasn't done enough.
Payton has a Super Bowl.
I'm talking about right now. That was years ago. Yeah. Tomlin, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of guys. Dan Campbell, I need more. Tonight's a big night. I need to see more. Like, there's just a lot of guys. I love Matt LaFleur. Not quite there on that level.
You put Jimmy up there?
Jimmy.
Harbaugh?
Yeah, so I said Jim Harbaugh, like, not quite. He's getting there this season, but still hasn't won a playoff game in this. Dan Quinn, no.
Went to the NFC Championship game? You said, what have you done for me lately? Just trying to go back on words. What have you done for me lately? Took a team that was terrible, took me to the NFC Championship game, played pretty well.
I put Shanahan up there.
One with Marcus Mariota yesterday.
Yep, Dan Quinn's solid. He's not top three.
Yeah, I don't think he's a top three coach.
Yeah.
Andy Reid is number one.
McVay's two.
McVay is two.
I would have McVay two. And I think KOC would be my third guy.
See, I'm Mike Tomlin until I die. I'm a ride and die guy with Mike Tomlin on this one. And, did that hit by Dan Quinn. They're just showing again in slow motion on the sideline.
Bust his nose, baby, right before halftime.
Went out there. He stayed in the game. But Kevin O'Connell, for me, it's still up in the air. He's not had the postseason run yet, right? Like, let's see what he can do in the postseason. You know I love Kevin O'Connell. And seeing him with, Carson Wentz yesterday put up the 45 minus the 14 that the dude on defense scored, for them yesterday. But still, I mean, Carson Wentz looked good. He seemingly has it figured out with every quarterback that he utilizes. I mean, he's a better coach of quarterbacks than Bill Belichick is.
Yeah, I mean, Mason was great yesterday and Jake Browning sucks. I mean, that was more so like Cincinnati. That game was, what do you say, three fumbles in the last 48 seconds like of the first half?
Three turnovers in the last 90 seconds.
Yeah, Cincinnati checked out. That's a team that has zero integrity. I mean, Jamar Chase is pouting on the sideline. Chase Brown's pouting on the sideline. They're mad they're getting waxed by that Minnesota defense. I mean, I think that guy for Minnesota had two touchdowns, had a Pro Football Focus grade of like 99.9. Crazy day there. But yeah, I mean, look, Kevin O'Connell, man, keep doing your thing and you'll be you'll be the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs in about 5 years.
And the only game that they lost was, you know, the day after the quarterback's wife had a baby. So, I mean, like, he was probably busy with some other stuff that day, you know?
My overreaction on Monday is that the Houston Texans, they're washed, Rob. They are 100% washed. I don't know what happened to CJ Stroud unless I have to really think about it, and maybe, just maybe, ever since that Tank Dell injury in Kansas City when his knee snapped in the end zone and we saw how emotional C.J. Stroud was, it ain't been the same since. Great rookie year. Semi-slump his sophomore year. 0-3 of the Houston Texans. The Indianapolis Colts are going to run away with that AFC South.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee, like I thought was going to be different, they're not. Their head coach is completely lost. He should not be a head coach. They need to fire him immediately on Monday today. There'll be at least six coaches fired by the end of the season. We know that every year. It's about 6 to 7 coaches get canned. But Houston, man, it's bad. You, like you said earlier, Bob, they got rid of their left tackle and Laremy Tunsil, sent him to Washington. We'll go get him for Jalen Daniels, but we won't keep him for C.J. Stroud. It ain't been the same in Houston. That is a very, 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 very bad franchise right now. At 0-3, the Houston Texans. Season pretty much over for them, unless they can somehow win that South, which they could.
They could. That division is really, really bad. But like, if you're going to make changes and you want to be like the New England Patriots, right, where they got rid of guys early before they aged out, you better have somebody ready to go behind them. And the Houston Texans just didn't. They just traded Laremy Tunsil for whatever reason. I'm sure one day we'll all get the story about why that went down and all that went on. But yeah, Houston in a bad way yesterday. My overreaction, I've got two. Dallas is by far the worst defense in the NFL. I mean, you have allowed Caleb Williams and Russell Wilson in the last 2 weeks to look like Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. This Dallas defense may be the worst defense that I've ever seen. And this is an era right now where defenses are coming back hot, baby. Like, defenses are good now in the NFL. And that Dallas defense is just downright hot garbage. My other overreaction, I'm sure Mac was carrying the paperwork yesterday for this. Cleveland coach of the year now. Is he up in the rankings for the coach of the year?
I hate
Kevin
these awards.
Stefanik. Way to go. You beat the Green Bay Packers, Cleveland.
I think coach of the year should be that owner of the Colts.
She's doing a nice job down there. Tough, yeah.
Looking like Could Carmen San Diego.
Like, if somebody wants to truly have fun with it and it doesn't take themselves seriously, they should vote for the Colts owner as coach of the year. Because since she's been down on the sidelines, Daniel Jones looks like a Hall of Famer, and that team is 3-0.
I wonder if Daboll goes and looks at the stat sheet and goes, what did I do wrong?
Well, that's the thing. I tweeted it out this morning. Daboll shouldn't be worried that his team is 0-3. He should be worried that Daniel Jones is 3-0 and looks really good.
Kevin O'Connell changed him, man. Coach of the year. He went to Minnesota.
That's right.
Year.
He had like three games in Minnesota last year. That's true.
I mean, Sean McVay changed Baker.
Yeah.
Kevin O'Connell changed Daniel Jones. Not for them.
Not for them, for somebody else. Yeah. But I mean, like, if you're Daboll, you have to be looking around at this and going,
it's not a great look. No.
It's not. No, it's not. You're 0-3. That's fine.
Percentage Jackson Dart starts this week for the New York Giants?
100.
100. Wow.
That's high.
I mean, it's time, don't you think? I mean, we've seen three games. They're 0-3.
You heard the people.
Your fans were booing.
You don't think you should start still, right?
No, I don't. Okay. But I mean, like, what are they going to do? It's panic time.
Oh, yeah.
They're 0-3, and Daniel Jones is 3-0.
That's the exact time you do not put him in.
Jackson's so start. Stupid.
And then they put him in for a couple of plays, and it's like a run.
A run package. Yeah, the little RPO, college BS. Yeah. No, it's stupid.
He's got that cool little eye black on it.
Bring in Jameis.
Yeah, like Dusty goes, where is Jameis? I go, no, he's there.
They didn't even show him.
They didn't even show him in the game last night. He's probably sitting in the stands eating popcorn with some of the kids. He's
eating W's.
Having fun.
Yeah, honestly.
I mean, the last time I saw him, he was like signing autographs for kids last week or something like that. Like, just do you, man. I love that guy. He's just such a sweetheart.
Best.